Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to be looking at a couple verses there, verses 1 through 9. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon the stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for all these wonderful days you've given us, God. God, thank you for giving me the opportunity to preach tonight, Lord. Thank you for giving me the message that you've laid upon my heart to share with them, Lord. Lord, I pray for that if there is any among us not saved, Lord, Lord, I just pray you touch their heart and that you bring them to you, Lord. Lord, that you can use me, Lord, in that process, Lord, of just touching their heart and convicting them of their sin and their need of a Savior. Lord, I pray for those of us here who are saved, Lord, who are going through things, who are struggling, Lord. For those of us who struggle with just our discouragement when it comes to witnessing and when it comes to being an encouragement to the other Christians around us, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you touch their hearts and you give them that strength and that courage, Lord. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Today, most people talk about Matthew 13 through the eyes of our own heart. And that's a very, very important lens. My dad likes to say that every parable only really has one meaning, but it has many different applications. Tonight, I want to talk about what we as Christians do when it comes to evangelism. The Bible talks about, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. We as Christians are asked to sow. We are asked to cast our seeds and speak to people about the gospel. When we witness to other people, we're fulfilling the commission that God has given us. In Matthew chapter 19, you don't have to turn there if you wouldn't want to. In 19 it says, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's the last command given unto us before Jesus ascended. It's a command given to the church. It's a command given to every Christian that lives on planet Earth. In verse 9 of Matthew chapter 13, it says, Who hath ears to hear, let them hear. This is for everyone who has ears. And I think that every single one of us here has the ability to hear. So this is for you. We are called to witness. Amen. But the question comes, how do we do that? There are the struggles of life that kind of choke us down when we try to witness. I mean, our jobs don't want us giving the gospel to anyone, let alone our coworkers or our customers or anyone that we have interactions with. Our outside world doesn't want to hear it. The Bible says in 4, And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. I apologize for speaking fast. I'm a little nervous, as you can tell. But it says that when we cast our seeds, sometimes the seeds fall by the wayside, and people don't listen. People don't hear. The thing is that we can't change people's hearts. But the first thing that we have to do before we witness to anyone is ask God to prepare the ground. In Philippians 4:6, it says, Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Prayer works. And brothers, you shared with your parents. You've prayed for weeks beforehand, you gave them the gospel. We cannot change the ground in which we throw our seeds. We cannot change who we speak to on this matter. We speak to everyone that we can, is what God commanded us to. But we can't change the condition of their heart. But what we can do is we can ask God to. In Ezekiel 11:19, it says, "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them an heart of flesh." God will soften their hearts. God, if we pray and we ask God to help us and to just prepare them for our witnessing, for our witness, God will soften their hearts. In James 5:16, it says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And the truth is the Bible says, none are righteous, no, not one, but that the righteousness of God was applied to us at Calvary. And it's not in anything that we do, but it's that what God has done already in us that allows us to pray for other people, that allows us to have this opportunity to soften their hearts. In the next verse, it says, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they fell away. And the stony places are not those who won't hear. They're those who will hear, but struggle. They're those who will hear, who have joy about what they hear, but have no foundation to stand upon. So when the hard times come, when the trials come, they wither, they die. In verse 19, it says, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then come the wicked one and catcheth the way which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." Has anyone here ever heard the term fair weather friend? I've had a couple growing up, people who are your friend for just a little while. They're your friend when things are nice. They're your friend when things are fun, when things are exciting, when things are supportive and are just there for every good moment. But the second the bad things happen, they disappear. You can't find them, can't get a hold of them, can't talk to them, nothing. They're gone. And the truth is that a lot of people are like this in their own personal walk with God. When things are great, it's easy to praise God. It's easy to give God the praise. It's easy to attend church. It's easy to get in that routine of just, things are great, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to give God praise of how great things are. But the second things get tough, they disappear. And it's these Christians that come and they get saved. They have an evangelist that has personally led me to the Lord, named Dave Young, he calls them mountaintop Christians, mountaintop Christianity, who peoples are doing great at the top of the mountain, but once you get down that hill, there is nothing there. They have an experience, they have a moment, they have this joy, and they never follow it up. They never build that foundation. In Matthew chapter 19, we talked about "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Baptism is our public identification with Christ. It is what gets us into church. It's what allows us to become members of a church. It's what roots us in that foundation. And a lot of times these people will come and they will get saved, but they'll never come back. Because the second they got saved, something happened in their life. I don't know, they lost their job, somebody died. So they went through something really hard. And they just let it be an experience. And that's something we as Christians need to get a hold of, need to get in front of. Because that'll happen to a lot of people. We have several families leave a year. We do. And it's not because of anything that we do. It's not because of anything that has happened in their life sometimes. Sometimes it's just because they have that mountaintop experience and then they have no foundation, they have no root, and they decide not to come back. As Christians, it's our responsibility to be there. It's our responsibility to go there. Witnessing is not just about salvation. It's also about sanctification. It's about identification. It's about bringing other people closer to Christ. In Matthew 28:19, Matthew 28:19b, it talks about our baptism. And in Ecclesiastes 4:9-10, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. As Christians, that's our responsibility. God gave us a command to grow his church. He gave us the Great Commission, exactly. And because of that Great Commission, we are commanded to help each other. We're commanded to be there for each other. In Galatians 6:2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The Great Commission had so much to do with not just our salvation, but also with the growth of God's church. So when we go out and we witness, and we go out and we test, and we evangelize, our job does not end with salvation. There's a lady who I work with. Her name is Divya. She's a very sweet lady. She comes from India, and she's saved. What she struggles with is the church. She does not feel as though organized Christianity, as she calls it, is right. She doesn't think that we should be in church all the time, that it's about a personal relationship, and that everything that we're just doing is ceremony. And you know, it's true. We shouldn't just have ceremony. We shouldn't. This is a relationship with God. But the Bible says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. God commanded us to be in church. God commanded us to grow one another and to be there with one another. Again, quoting Ecclesiastes, it says, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. When we're by ourselves, when we forsake the church, when we forsake other people in salvation, other people, when people just get saved and we just say, phooey, I'm done. That's all they needed. They got their fire insurance. That's good. It's great that they're saved, but that's the start, not the end. That's the first step. After that, there's so much more to do. There's identification and sanctification as we try to go closer to God. More than just the stony places, more than just the wayside where those who won't hear, comes the thorns. In verse 7, it says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into the good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Some fell among thorns. In verse 22, it also says, he also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Have any of you guys ever met a Christian who just didn't bear fruit ever? It's not that they're not Christian. It's not that they're not saved. It's not that they're not even in church, but just the cares of this life, their job, their money and riches and the sin, their own personal sin, just pulls all the life out of them, all the light out of them. These are people that we also are called to witness to. We're called to plant seeds among. These people that struggle with just all of it, with the cares of this life. I mean, Ecclesiastes is all about living under the sun, about how all is vanity. That our job as Christians is to come and to lift them up, is to come and even rebuke them when need be. This is something that God laid upon my heart as something that I was struggling with even, was that I was among the thorns, was that I cared too much for the cares of this life, that I cared too much about making money, I cared too much about what other people thought of me, about what other people saw in me, what other people would do when I shared with them. And it choked out any light in me. And in Romans 8:29, this isn't in my notes, but in Romans, the Bible, Romans verse chapter 3, and verse 28, not chapter 3, excuse me, Romans 8, chapter 3, or chapter 28, excuse me, I'm all over the place today. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." God called us to be like Christ. God called us to not have fear, to not have this doubt. Christ went through his entire life and suffered and died. He spent his entire life as a servant, even though he was the coming king. Even though he had every right to rule and to reign at that time. He came as a servant. He humbled himself, even under the death of the cross, is what the Bible says. And when we humble ourselves and we realize that God wants to shine through us, that's when we're able to truly bear fruit. But sometimes we're already there, and we run into other Christians that have this struggle, that have been choked out by the thorns. You know, really, it was a friend of mine. His name's Micah. He's a good friend of mine. He called me before the service today to pray for me. And he told me that I'll never be happy unless I'm in God's will. In Proverbs 27:17, it says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." So when we see our brother fall, we see our brother just fall down and they don't get back up on their own, because on their own they have nothing. They have no foundation. Again, "But woe to him that is alone when he falleth." But you know, when we labor together, when we come together, when we bring ourselves together as a church, that's when we're able to lift each other up. That's when we're able to have that together. I'm sorry, I'm so emotional. God has called us to be there for one another. In Galatians 6:2, "Bear ye another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." In 2 Timothy 2:2, it says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." It's a command given unto us that we're to teach others. That not only are we to teach others what we read, but also what we've seen. We are witnesses. What does that word mean? We are to witness. You know, you can't ever give the wrong person the gospel. Amen. You can't give the wrong person the gospel. Even if they're saved, even if even if they're a pastor. Dad, if you were walking down the street and somebody came up to you and told you about a Christ who loved you and died for you, well, would you be upset? would you have any problems with that at all? It's a great encouragement. And the devil wants to stop that. The devil wants to stomp that out. The devil wants to stop out any community that we have, any witness that we have. He wants to hurt our testimony. He wants to hurt our walk with God. Because if the thorns of this life can choke you out, then you are no good. You cannot witness. There is no light in you. So that's the devil's goal. He wants to choke you out. He wants to bring everything and crash it upon your head. Because the second that everything is crashing upon your head, that's when you wither. But because we have each other, and because we have the Lord, because we have God, we can know that we have a foundation that we can fall back upon. because not only what God has already done for us, but because of our own testimony that we have of what God did in our lives. You know, I got saved when I was 12 years old in July of 2017. And I'm struggling, excuse me. In July of 2017, I went to the Wild Camp in North Carolina. And on a Thursday night, a man by the name of Dave Young preached a message about my own bitterness, and preached a message about how there was a God who loved me anyway. There was a God who died for me. There was a God who called me to glory and to virtue. And that night, under a starry sky, I asked God to save me. And he did. And that witness, that seed that he planted, is what allowed me to come and what allowed me to be here to witness again. Finally, not my final point, but finally, the good ground. In Matthew 13, 8 through 9, it says, "But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold." Sometimes when you witness, it does work out. Sometimes it will bear fruit. Sometimes you will see an immediate gain. But not always. When that happens, we shouldn't be discouraged. You know, for me, for a long time, I really struggled. Because I got saved when I was 12 years old. And for about 5 years, I saw no fruit. And that hurt me. That I never saw anything. I never saw anything accomplished. And it looks like I could look around and hear everyone's testimony of praise, and I've always felt like I had nothing. But you know, Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." God's word will never return to him void. God's word will never, ever do nothing. You know, when we witness to other people, even when we don't see an immediate result, we are planting seeds. We're preparing the ground. And because God wants to work in every heart. God wants to work in every soul. The Bible says that that he is willing that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. And when we witness to one another, when we lift each other up, when we do these things, we plant seeds that God can flourish, that God can make himself known unto us. Because everything God does is for our good and his glory. And when we witness, when we bring it, he has given us this promise that it will never return unto us void, that there will never be an increase, because as we plant seed, God brings the increase. You know, this past week's been a bit of a struggle for me. I've been working pretty hard trying to make up enough money to go to college and take care of things. And I remember I was sitting in a service. Actually, Dad, you preached this service. We were at a funeral, a graveside of a woman who had just lost her husband. And my dad sat there and he preached a message that very obviously touched the hearts of the people there. He preached about how we would rise again in the last days. He preached on how we have a home in heaven, that we have promises that God has given us. And the man, I don't know his testimony. The man who died, I have no clue. But his wife was an older Korean woman, I believe, And she came and said, and asked my dad in front of everyone, do you really believe that he'll come back one day? Do you think that there will be a day where he rises again? And my dad, with full confidence, got to look at her and say, I know it to be true. That I've known in my own life, and that the Bible says it, that Paul says it, that Peter said it, that every single chapter in the Bible leads up to it. That we will rise again on the last day. And she said, that makes me feel so relieved. And she walked up to the casket and she hugged the casket and said, I can't wait to see you again. And it touched my heart watching that. And I'm ashamed to say that I didn't walk up to her and tell her about a Christ who died that day. I was at work. I was scared. I'm ashamed to say that I didn't. But you know, seeds were planted, and I'm praying that God will bring the increase. That God will make fertile ground, and even if it's not me, that someone will bring the increase. Don't let any of that discourage you. When you witness and when you bring forth and you don't see any fruit, don't let it discourage you. The prophet Jeremiah spent his entire life as a prophet and didn't see a single convert. Could you imagine? You had to walk through the broken ruins of your own city because no one listened. They called him the weeping prophet because every single line he wrote in Lamentations, he was in tears. And he didn't get to see any of the fruits of his labor. He didn't get to see any of it. But even today, it's witnessing to hearts. He wrote two books of the Bible, two books of the most best-selling book to ever exist. Not just the best-selling book, but the only book that matters. The only book that saves souls and touches lives. And, you know, it's not about the fruit that we see, it's about the fruit that we don't. There was a man, he owned a little bookshop, I can't remember the year. I'm sorry, I can't remember the year. But he owned a bookshop, and he got to witness to one of his assistants, one of the people that worked with him. And nobody remembers this man's name, but they do remember the name of the person he led to the Lord. That person was D.L. Moody. Who shook two continents with the gospel. Sometimes we won't see the fruits of our labor. Sometimes we will. Sometimes you'll see the 30-fold, the 60-fold, the 100-fold increase. But a lot of times we won't. But God promises his word shall not return void. That as we witness, that as we testify of the things that we've seen, the things that we've heard, the things that we've read, that God will bring the increase. There's a hymn at our college that's quickly become one of my favorite hymns. The title of it is Little is Much When God is in It. The lyrics go as this. They go like this. In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the master's voice is calling to the harvest, calling you. In the mad rush of the broad way, in the hurry and the strife, tell of Jesus, love and mercy, give to them the word of life. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and he'll not forsake his own. Are you laid aside from service, body worn from toil and care? You can still be in the battle, in the sacred place of prayer. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, he will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There is a crown, and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, while I was agonizing over this message, I kept having to think, what's the application? I can give you all this information. I can give you all these facts. But what does it actually mean? What am I hoping for God to touch your hearts on? For you to get out of it? And what I have written down is witness as much as possible. You can never give the wrong person the gospel. That we have a time limit. And because of that time limit, especially living here in D.C., you know, 99% of people you see on the street, you'll never meet again. You'll never see them ever again in your entire life. Because 18 months from now, they're going to get shipped out somewhere. You know, we have so many military, government, all these kind of things. 18 months from now, they'll be in another state or even another country. And you'll never have another opportunity to plant that seed. But you know what? You'll never have another opportunity to feel embarrassed about it. You'll never have another opportunity for them to laugh in your face and scoff in your face. But the only thing that matters is that when we do witness, when they do scoff in our face, that we've planted a seed. It's not up to us to bring the increase. It's not our job to save them. We are accountable to our testimony. We are accountable to our witness, and we're accountable to the things that we have learned and the things that we have seen. And I fight every day so that when I die, I can hear, "Welcome home, my child. Well done." Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that's what we're accountable to. That's why God uses people. It's why God didn't pick the angels. It's why God didn't pick some mystical announcement, like over a speaker at a loud phone, at like some concert. God just didn't go, "I'm the Son of God. You're all saved. I died on the cross. Go for it." It's why God didn't announce it that way. It's why God chose people. It's why God ordained the church. Is because God knew that he wanted children, and that God knew that we would have a testimony that we could relate to others, that other peoples could relate to. You know, man can't relate to the angels. The angels have seen God's face. The angels have experienced all of the things that heaven has to offer. And some of the angels still rebelled. If they've seen everything that heaven has to offer, and some even turned away, what does that say about man? He gave us this opportunity. The reason he used man was so that we could witness to other people's hearts with the things that we have seen, the things that we have experienced, and the things that God has done in our lives, the way he's changed our heart, the way he's changed our ground. Because you know what? I didn't start as good ground. I don't even think I'm there yet. I didn't start as good ground. I started as a wayside. I started without care for anything God had to say for my life. You know, I could understand I was a sinner since I was 5, 6 years old. I didn't get saved until I was 12, 13. And I was hard-hearted and I was bitter. But you know what? Through prayer, because other people prayed for me, That God softened my heart, and God brought someone to me that gave me the gospel and told me about a Savior who loved me. And you know, I had a mountaintop experience at camp. When I got saved, I had that mountaintop. I had that stony ground where I had that joy and all this excitement. But I had no root, I had no ground, I had no foundation, because I did not put my foundation and trust in Christ, and I did not put my foundation in the Lord. I had decided to pull all of these bad things out of my life, but I filled it. I didn't fill it with anything good. And it left me with no root. So that when the sun came, that I would burn. That all of that hope, all of that joy, all of that faith that I had vanished overnight. And when the going got rough, I disappeared. And then when I got baptized, when I started to identify with Christ, when I started to call myself a Christian, the devil used the thorns. And I know that this is true for many of us here, that the devil chokes us out with the worries of this life. They worry so much about what other people will think of me. They worry about what other people will say to me. You know, the hardest thing ever was coming up in front of this congregation and telling you about how I got saved. Because when I was 6 years old, I confessed Christ, even though it wasn't real. And I felt that people would judge me. And I felt that people would call me a liar. I felt that people would call me all these terrible things. But you know what? I was able to build that foundation because that's not the response I was given. Instead, I was met with amens. Instead, I was met with love. And you know, that love doesn't just come from us. That love comes from Christ's love overflowing through us. And as we make sure that we are fertile ground, we're good ground, we're able to bring others to that point as well. You know, we have to take responsibility for the task God's given us. We have to take responsibility for not just leading them to the Lord, but also to walk with them, to bring them closer to him, to disciple them, and to teach them what it means to be God's child. If you're discouraged today, if you're brought down because we don't have anywhere to go, because you feel as though you don't have anywhere to go, or you're discouraged because you feel as though you are witnessing and you are doing what God wants you to do, but you're not seeing anything come from it, if that's discouraging you, then just rest it upon the Lord. That shouldn't be a discouragement. That shouldn't be anything, because we should have faith in the promise that God has given us. The promise that God will see us through, that God will not leave us nor forsake us, that God will not let his word return void. I believe that's all the time I have. It's 6:05. But from my very short time on this earth, from the 19 years that I've been here, which is not very long, I know that I am responsible for those 19 years and what I've done with it. And when you die, and on that gravestone it says, from your birth date to your death date, that little dash mark, that's what you're responsible for. You're responsible to all the other people who you run into. You're responsible for all of the lives that you touch. My dad likes to say, you're not an island. This is him talking to me. I'm not an island. That everything I do affects everyone around me. And because everything I do affects everyone around me, I have a responsibility to those people to witness. I have a responsibility to those people to tell them about a Savior who loved them. I have a responsibility to teach and preach the Word of God, because that's what God has commanded me to do. And because that's what other people have done for me. All right. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for all these wonderful days you've given us. God, thank you for the message that you've laid upon my heart. God, thank you. Thank you for taking me from the wayside. Thank you for putting people in my life who were a witness to me. Thank you for putting people in my life who prayed for me. Thank you for putting people in my life who brought me to you. Thank you, God, for everyone in this congregation, Lord, for being my church family. And God, For any of us here who are discouraged, any of us here who struggle, any of us here who are not witnessing fruit, any of us here who are not seeing what has been done, Lord, I just pray you touch their heart. If there's one among us today who's not saved, Lord, then this doesn't apply to them. They're still that wayside, or they're that ground that has not been tilled, that seed that has not been planted. Let this be the seed that grows. Let this be the seed that flourishes. And God, if any among us here today have thorns in their life, Lord, I just pray that you pluck them out. That this is a wake-up call that they need to clear the thorns out of their life. And any of us here today who know someone who struggles with these things, who have these problems, who has a heart that is not ready for them, Lord, I just pray that you touch these people, Lord, here so that we can pray for them now. That we would not be afraid to pray. That we would realize, Lord, that you wouldn't have any be damned, go to hell, Lord, that you would have all come to repentance, that you would have all come to your name. That there is hope for everyone, that while everyone is still breathes, that there is hope for their salvation. There is hope for their testimony. There is hope for their identification. There is hope for their sanctification. There is hope for them to be like you. That you would just touch our hearts, Lord, and that you would come and walk among us, Lord, and teach us to pray, teach us to witness to others. Thank you for all you've been doing and all you've done here today, Lord. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's all stand and take a moment, have a time of prayer. May the Lord has touched your heart. What a wonderful message tonight. It is our responsibility. Good job, good job. Won't you take a moment and pray?
I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you.
Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the message and the messenger. Thank you, Father. What a timely message. Father, you're the one that brings the increase. You've made it our responsibility to sow the seed of the gospel. And Father, we ask that you would do that. You would burden our hearts for the souls of the people we come in contact with, every single person. And Father, may you be glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May I look this way.